We're going to start the Mishnah today, and we'll try to do the entire Mishnah tonight. And if we have to come back to some of it, the Gemara, when the Gemara gets the different portions of the Mishnah, we'll expound on it at that point. But there are certain things that the Gemara won't touch on, so those are the things we'll touch on here. So it will look like a part of the Mishnah we're spending time, a part we're going to go right through it. It will become apparent because the Perek will discuss some of it. Some of it the parak won't discuss. Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek l'olam haba. Like we said last time, every Yisrael, every Yid, the fact that he was born a Yid gives him right away that ticket to olam haba. He has a chelek set aside for him in olam haba. The Gemara brings a riot from a pasuk. Shenemar va'amech kulam tzadikim. The nation is all tzaddikim, la'olam yushuaretz, they'll forever inherit the land, which means Eretz Achayim, which means olam haba. Neitzem atoai ma'aseh yodai lispor. Now, it's an interesting pasuk. Neitzem atoai is, I guess, tied like a sapling of a plant, a part of a plant. Rabbi Avigdor Miller tied up this pasuk to say Neitzem atoai is going on the ovos. That you're Mishyachas, you're a descendant from the Ovis Shana Matoai, the original plantings, and now you are the Peiros of that original planting. And then the Mishnah says, the Pasuk finishes off, Masa Yodai Lispoer, these are the handiwork of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Lispoer I guess means that his name will be glorified through his handiwork, which are us. Okay, so now let's analyze this pasuk. The pasuk is something the Gemara will not discuss. The Gemara will discuss the rest of the Mishnah, so we'll finish the Mishnah tonight, Be'ezus Hashem. But before we go right there, let's just analyze the pasuk a little bit. It'll take a few minutes, but it's kedai. The pasuk starts off, Amech Kulam Tzadikim. Now the Marsha has a arichas a little, but in short, this perek, it's a shaila if it's supposed to be at this point, or it's supposed to be flipped with the 10th perek. In the Mishnayis, it has it the other way. And there's a lot of talk about where it really belongs. In the beginning of Makis, it says it starts with Makis because it follows Elohim al-Nakim, and you finish with the Dalet Mises Bezdin. So then, there are different ways to look at why the perek is where it is. But one thing is clear, that the Marsha says on this pasuk, and that's what's going to get to us now, without getting sidetracked, and that is that if there's somebody, let's say, messes up, and he has to get his din, whatever that din is, after he's finished, he's called tzaddikim. Now, what the word tzaddik means is also up for debate, but let's just say, on a superficial level, what's going to get for now, without getting into the nitty-gritty, is Kulam Tzadikim, the Pasuk is telling us that we're all called Tzadikim, we're righteous people. Now, that doesn't mean that there wasn't an Avera done that needed a din. It just means that after the din is taken care of, you're now a Tzadik Vaita. It's a tremendous, interesting thing that we find over here, the Koyach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Matana, basically, that we could reestablish ourselves after going through whatever cleansing process is necessary to reattain the title tzaddikim. The fact that we had it originally, you might say, is because we have a clean slate. So everybody starts off like that. But A, if it gets blemished along the way, so, okay, you know, a person can suddenly get a chalishas and say, okay, I'll never get back to where I was, why bother? But this pasuk gives us that impetus to realize we don't know the din shemayim. We don't know always. Sometimes a person's din shemayim could be agmas nefesh. A person could, we know Chazal say, a person could put his hand in his pocket and pick out the wrong coin. That itself is an einish, and that is enough. That the Gemara says if a person goes 30 days without something happen, he should check out what's wrong. Maybe he's getting a schar in this world. But if lemaisa anybody gets a little bit of agmas nefesh, that already is enough to rate on the Richter scale as an einish. And lemaisa, we don't know to what is considered chomer, what's kal. We have no idea. We don't know the schar, and meidach kisa, we don't know the ancient. We have no idea. sometimes a little bizayin could wipe away so much that a guy should have gotten A, B, C, and D. Oh, he had to go through such and such a bizayin, and right away A, B, and C, and D was wiped off. He doesn't need it anymore. And a famous miser with someone who couldn't have children, and she was told, go find someone who's embarrassed in public and doesn't respond. That person can give you a bracha, and the bracha will be mekuyim. And not long after that, she was at a wedding where someone was mevuyish in public, and she begged the person not to respond so she could get a bracha, and she had a child. There are famous maisim like that. Bizoyim also is a tremendous kapara. So it's not a matter of, okay, so I'm doomed, and now the question is if it's going to be this kind of punishment. We don't know how a Kodesh Baruch Hu cleans up the slate. But one thing we do know is that the Pasuk says, V'amich kulam tzadikim, and Rasha says, and the lesson is that Acha shekiblu dina medalad mises kulam tzadikim hen. So how exactly, what kind of tzadik, what is a tzadik, that I'm not discussing. But it means that if you were a tzaddik before, you were called a righteous person. Bezus Hashem, after this, you could reattain that kedusha be'enei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At the end of the day, those are the only eyes we're trying to satisfy. If by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're okay. So it really makes no difference if this one says like this or that one thinks like that. Bottom line, v'amech kulin tzaddikim. So it's an interesting thing that we could walk away from the pasuk. However, the pasuk continues and says, "Neitzer matar." This is what I want to shtelzich on a little bit longer. It's yadua that there was some big bali musa who used to learn sefer bereishis from bereishis to vayichi as their musa seder. The limudim that are able to be taken out from the parshas of Bereishis Noach. This is one of the biggest tainus that, I don't know in Eretz Yisrael, I probably don't know, but in America, the lack of emphasis that some B'nai Torah have on Chumash and Rashi, because it's not Gemara with Rishonim and Achronim, and it creates a certain, you know, if you don't know Chumash and Rashi, you're lacking so much in the fundamentals of Avigdor Miller said so many times. That the best Musa Sefer is Sefer Bereishis. From all the Musa Sefer, because it is the Limudim that we could take from it. Now, let's just, on a small level, understand this. Neitzer Matar, we are the descendants of Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, and we know that the things that they did and the way they were noyag, our limudim are examples for us to follow. And are we supposed to be noyag? And I want to shtelzich on this for a few minutes in a couple of different examples that I know impact me personally, and I think I'll share it. It'll give us an understanding of why Ma'aseh Yodei L'Sper. This is all creating that we are what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets, quote, nachas from. The glorification of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is out of his Ma'aseh Yodei. But not all Ma'aseh Yodei causes glorification. We know that when the Mitzrayim were drowning, it says that Ma'aseh Yodei Tzvum B'Yam, and you're saying Shira. You see that everything's Ma'aseh Yodei of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But some of them create Nebuch the opposite of glorification. But yet, we are in a position to be the vehicle of tremendous Kiddush Shem Shemayim in everything that we do. And we're going to learn soon in the Gemara, in every machshava, in every tenua, in every movement, in every machshava that we do, and we'll see soon in the Gemara as well. I just want to share with you a couple of insights on this Lishnakuda. Ma'aseh Yodei L'Sper is because we learned from Avraham Avinu, we learned from Yitzchak, we learned from Yaakov. Let's take Avraham Avinu for tonight and talk about one small prat. Just to show us, and there's many, many, many more. You could spend years just discussing the others. Rav Miller used to always say, at some point you gotta go weiter. But it's not because we finished the subject. We didn't finish the subject, but we have to go weiter. So on a much lower level than that, we'll try to cover one or two nekudas, and we'll have to use our imagination just to imagine there's so much more, and throughout the parak we'll touch on some more. Everybody knows that Avraham Avinu was the symbol of chesed. You stop anybody in the street, a small child in first grade knows it. He knows how many doors were in the tent. And anybody who went to Eretz Bereshit, it's a place in Eretz Yisrael you could go visit. I was there in the summer, actually. You get a reenactment of the parsha. Okay, exactly like the parsha. It might not be, but you get the point. And Lamaisa, when you really think about it and you analyze it, there are so many things that we can learn from. But let's one nekuda I want to bring out. I heard Reuven Feinstein, Rosh Yeshiva in MTJ, is the son of Reb Moshe Feinstein. He told me over that he was once discussing this nekuda, and his father, he asked a kasha. It's an obvious kasha, but until he said it to me a number of years ago, I wasn't oimid on the kasha. And he said that Avraham Avinu was so into chesed that we all know that his oil was ready 24/7, he was ready to serve. And Yom Shlishi LeMilasai, when the Rabbanu Shalom took out the Chama Min Artika to make it very, very hot, there weren't any Urchim, and Avraham Avinu had Agmas Nefesh from that, and he had sent Eliezer out, and when Eliezer came back, it brought down that he said, Lesem Nusa Bavdusa, that Ed is known amonis by an Eved. There has to be, if I'm trying hard to do a mitzvah, it's not Shaykh, the Rabbanu Shalom is not going to give me an opportunity. And he went out, and sure enough, the Rabbanu Shalom finally realized he's having more Agmas Nefesh from no Urchim than he's going to have from the Urchim, so he sent the three Malachim, and Avraham Avinu welcomed them in. And it's an interesting thing, says Reb Moshe, stop and think for a second what happened at that point. Not what we would think. What happened was is they were kept there while Velaboker Ratz Avraham. Sarah was Lushi Vasi Ugas. He had to shecht, he had to assault, he had to do so many things to set up the situation that what really happened was these people were kept waiting. That's what happened. So Reb Ruvain told me over, he says, try to imagine the scene. He is the Amud HaChesed, and he's waiting, the doors are open, the table should have been set, and there should have been something there for them. You don't find that there was anything there. He first started working on it when they showed up. If he was so sure that they were going to come, Ad Kedekach, that he didn't trust Eliezer, said he should have been afraid that if they don't come, he'll have leftovers that would get wasted. Yet there was nothing there. So what was this Gevaldige Chesed that we always quote from Avraham Avinu when the Chari, it doesn't look like the Chesed we would do in our house? How many times is it that we have a guest, he comes home, and then we, okay, now wait, we're going to prepare, and you leave him sitting there for an hour. It just connected the Seichel. And that is one of the biggest Limudim of Chesed from Avraham Avinu. It's a Pella. So Reuven Feinstein, to understand it, he told me a mashal, and he said, with this mashal, you'll understand exactly what Avraham Avinu was doing, and therefore what the limit for us is, in order to be nichlal in ma'aseh yodei l'ispoer, that we are also glorifying HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's in the mus of what Avraham Avinu did, it's only shayach if we understand why he was doing what he did. He said a mashal. He said, Zamol, you have a friend of yours that you went to school with, he's an old buddy of yours. And then you part ways. And it could be 20 years or more before you'll ever see this person again. And one day you show up in shul 20, 25 years later, and you come into shul in the morning, and this guy happens to be there. And you haven't seen him in years. You run over to him, and he says he had to be in town for business, and he forgot totally that you lived in this town, and he was so happy to see you. So you tell him after davening, you want him to come home with you, and you're going to give him breakfast before he goes off to his meeting. He has a business meeting, you're going to take care of him beforehand, because he doesn't know anybody in the town. Sure enough, after davening, you go home with him. You walk into the house, but nobody was expecting him. So you wake up your kid and you send him to the appetizing store. The other guy goes to the bagels. You go in there and you start making believe you know how to make eggs. You never made eggs in your life. While your wife is busy trying to get ready to come down and do it. The mice, the guy's waiting. After a half hour, you have himself. He has himself breakfast. But on his way out the door, you say to him, look, your uncle, I really wasn't expecting you here. But after your meeting, before you catch the plane out, come back here for lunch. I'll take you to the airport afterwards. I'll give you lunch also. He has nobody else in the town to go to, so he has no problem coming. And what do you do that whole morning? You start preparing the lunch to the boy. It's a Suddus HaMelech, anything you can think of. By the time he walks in there for lunch, the table, there's at least some variety of that kind on the table. He walks in there, and he's overwhelmed. He sits down and he eats lunch, and he gets up to leave, and you take him to the airport. Says to Reuven Feinstein, let's analyze. What is going through this fella's mind when he walks out of your door? When he walks out after lunch, he's patting his stomach, and he says, wow, these guys know how to eat. But when he walks out after breakfast, you know what he's doing? He's saying, wow, look what these people did for me. Avraham Avinu had plenty what to give, says Reuven Feinstein. But that's not chesed. You just big eaters. For who I made aleihem tachasa eitz vayechelu shteitin pasik. He didn't just put it and go about his business. His business was being busy with the archim. Memela, it had to be for them. So yeah, they had to wait for a little bit. But when they walked away, they knew that this person, just whoever he was, took care of me. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam wants us to know there's chesed in the world. A lot of people do chesed. People have a need, it's chesed. The whole Red Cross is chesed. There's so much chesed in the world. Even by non-Fruman, by Goyish, there's always chesed. But the concept that Avraham Avinu was giving over was chesed, that it's not pshat, I took care of the chesed, then I got busy with something else. No, I was busy with the chesed. Now this is a small example, but there's hundreds of these kinds of things from the Ovis. If you go through the Sefer Musa of Bereshis, you'll go through from the beginning of all the way to kind of heaven, what happened with them, all the way to the Brichas Yaakov at the end of Vayechi. It's so full of Musa and so full of examples, so full of ideas. It's amazing how much and how much we don't always have the right take on, and how much we could gain and how much it will enhance our own lives. That when we go and do something, oh, says the Rebbe, my Sayyada L'Sporah, look what my nation, B'nei B'chari Yisrael, look what they're doing, look the nachas they're giving me. So this is one of the nekudas, but there's many, many more. I'm not going to go through them all now, but I couldn't go through them all if I tried. But this is one nekuda. Now, at the same time, before we go right in the Mishnah, I want to just show you one more thing, which I heard, that has to do in general, in the concept of example. And that will lead to Masa Yodei L'Sporah as well. You have the Avos, and they were examples to us, obviously in all the future generations. Now we are the Avos as well of our children, and in a way we're in the same position, because our children, you know, might have more to do with us technically than Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. Avadah, they have much more to do with Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. It's not the question, but we're trying to drive the bus and set up, you know, how they should think about things and how they should be noyig, and if we have talmidim, if we have chaverim. We're constantly in a position of being examples. Now, the one we have to be the most mashpia on is ourselves. That's obvious. But lemaisa, if sometimes we know that there are things that people are learning from us, and limudim that people are getting from us, that is the best motivator for us to be mashpia on ourselves. I want to share with you a maisa which is not known. I don't think it's known by most people in the world. It was told to me privately, by also by Reuven Feinstein, on a different occasion. but it sends such a strong, powerful message. And I think this is how we're going to create that our Netzer Matoy, we being descendants of our parents and our Rebbeim and our grandparents, and going all the way back to Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, will hopefully keep these things in mind and giving it over to our children and our grandchildren, for those who it's negaya to, and for the rest of us who one day will be negaya to. Because at the end of the day, like it or not, we are put in a position that there are people that look up to us, whether we think we're deserving of it or not. It could be our spouse, it could be our in-laws, it could be, who knows, a brother-in-law, it could be someone who was chayz a little bit tshuva, it could be a baal tshuva, it could be our children, grandchildren, our children's friends. We're always in such a position. I want to share with you one nekuda, a maisa that happened, which it's not so yidua, but it's a powerful lesson. Rav Moshe Feinstein, zechor levracha, you all probably have heard of him, was the Rosh Yeshiva in MTJ on the east side in Manhattan. Now, the Rebbeim in the yeshiva in the 70s and the early 80s and obviously more previous than that, like in the 90s, obviously, they were American Rebbeim. Rav Moshe himself, coming from Europe, you could have made a mistake and thought he was out of touch. He didn't really know what America needs, and he didn't have his hand on the pulse. A person could have made such a mistake. Why? Because the Maaseh is, the Rebbeinu Shel'Olam sets up the world that things are always, it could be A or B. That's how Hashem said, the Rav said it recently. If everything was just on a silver platter, there wouldn't be no Hatzlacha. The concept that you have to be boicher, there's bechira, to choose, is what gives us that much more schar if we choose the right thing. Nor Miller, just as a side point, always said, the world was created the first day, it was day and night. So why was it necessary a couple days later to make the sun? The whole thing doesn't make sense. It was already daytime. What were you mysis? Now, if you stop and think about it for a second, we probably never stopped to think about it. But the first day, it was Yom Halayla. So what does it mean, daytime? Daytime means not nighttime. What does that mean? It means I could see everything. So what was the purpose for him to go make the sun that I could see? That it wasn't necessary. And Rav Miller brings down from the Bali Musa that no, it was very necessary, because Hashem wants that people should be able to make a mistake also. And say, yeah, it's the sun we have to dive into. The sun's gone. That's what, there had to be some mokayim to make a mistake, that we have to use our seichel to do the right thing and realize, no. It's all HaKadosh Baruch. So it's the same nekuda here, is that people made a mistake, and they thought, he's an old man, he wasn't so old then, but he was brought up in Europe, what does he know? And they didn't realize the godless, the greatness of him, and they decided they're going to have their own, like, not a coup, but they're going to present a concept of changing the way the chinuch was done in MTJ way back in the 60s and 70s. There weren't that many yeshivas that taught Gemara, even in New York in those days. So in the rest of the United States, it didn't exist. Kamat didn't exist. There were very few. And they devised the whole plan. And they showed up by Rav Moshe Feinstein, and this is what they said to him. They said, why in fifth grade, when the boys go to school, they learn Bav Metzia, and they learn El Metzia Shaloi, these are the Metzia Shekip, Ve'elu Chayiv La'achris, and these are the ones you gotta call out. And then the Mishnah goes on to delineate Matzah this, Matzah Moiz, Matzah Peiroiz, Matzah, and goes through a whole bunch of which things you're allowed to keep, which things you have to return, if it has a simon, it doesn't have a simon. What are we bothering the fifth graders with that gemara? These Rebbeim as a group came to Rabbi Feinstein and they said, we think that fifth grade Hascholos Gemara should be Me'emesai Kurin Eshemar Ba'arvis. It should be from Mesechtes Brachas. They should understand Kabbalos Malchus Shemayim. They should know what it means to say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Let them do that first. Let them understand there's a mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Isn't that much, much more fundamental than figuring out when was the last time you saw a string of figs with a shape of a mug and David laying on Rephaim, and you have to hang up a sign and delay it because it's within 18 inches, and that someone could come give a simon that his initials were in the figs. What? It's like, come on, it's in the abstract. Now, when they approached Moshe Feinstein, they knew that that deal was locked, signed, sealed, and delivered. He was going to be moided to them. They had no shiloh because they had dealt with this shiloh from every angle. They had discussed it amongst themselves and some other outsiders, and there was not in their mind there was no way they were going to be slogged up. So when they came to Ramesha to ask the shiloh, so Ramesha heard the shiloh. And he said, in Yiddish, but I'll say it in English, he said, go away, nothing to talk about, stay in the same way. And they started fighting with him, with all of their pre-planned tightness, and garnished, nothing, go away, nothing to talk about. He wouldn't even entertain the question. And the Rebbeim, after a few minutes, realized that they were getting nowhere. So they decided they're going to have to go back and rethink their strategy and figure out another method. So they decided the best thing to do is to go to Reb David Feinstein and Reb Reuven Feinstein and get them on their side. And then for sure they'll have Reb Moshe in their back pocket. And they went and they approached Reb Reuven Feinstein first. And they decided they gave him the whole shiloh. And they told him that they're very disappointed because they went to Reb Moshe. And Ramesha didn't play ball with them. He didn't answer them. He didn't deal with them at all. So Ruvei said, look, I'm not masking to go on your side. He wasn't ready to go on. He wasn't going to fall for Karach's trick. But he said, I will go, because I'm taka wondering why he didn't answer you at least. Sure, he has an answer. I'll go in and I'll speak to myself. I'll see if I can get what the answers are. So he went into Ramesha. And he asked the father, what's going on? You know, you obviously have a cheshbon, so why aren't you telling us the cheshbon? So Moshe said an interesting thing. He said, first of all, they were already with their preconceived teretz that they would not have been able to absorb, forget about absorb, they wouldn't have been able to let it even enter into their mind maybe a different teretz. So I was going to be wasting my time. So I decided not to even deal with the shiloh, because they weren't coming in to hear my chavos das. They were coming in to tell me their chavos das and that I should just go along with it. He had hit the nail on the head, obviously. He said, that's why I didn't even discuss it. Because you could only be mashpia, you could only influence somebody who is ready to receive. They're not ready to receive. The cover is on the pot, you can't pour anything in. You got to take the cover off. So that's why they do it. He says, but why don't you coming to me? I'll tell you that there are two answers why they're wrong. I didn't want to tell them, but I'll tell you. Answer number one is because Minig Avicenu B'Yodenu. This is how it's been from our bay, from their bay, back until the first, very first yeshiva of Shem V'Aver, way back when, because we had Kabbalah from Arab Bain. So I wasn't around 2,000 years ago, but my Rebbe was, and if they said, gave over that this is the Mahalach, then that's it. This is the Mahalach, whether we understand it or not. Why? Because Maaseh Yodei L'Sporer is only if we take the examples from the people that are teaching us that have been there and done it. The previous generations, the older the person is, the more experiences they have, the more you can learn from them. The more you can learn, the more you will learn from them if you let yourself. If you don't, so then of course, yeah, he's just an old man from Europe, what does he know? That was the first thing he told her. He said, but I'm going to tell you the reason why it was done thousands of years ago. So you'll know today also why we're doing it. And it was a gvaldik lesson. He said, because when we're teaching these fifth graders, Ascholos HaGemara, they're starting out with a clean slate. A totally clean slate. They don't have preconceived notions about anything. They're pure young children. Now, we're going to go and teach them. When do you have to say Kriya Shema? And then it's going to talk about in the next Mishnah, when do you say Kriya Shema B'Shacharis? Right? Very nice in Yonu. He says, but how many of us, this says with Moshe Feinstein, Nebuch once in a while are running late and we miss Kriya Shema, Azman Kriya Shema? How many of us Nebuch could forget a Mayriv or not have or miss a minion, or by mistake we're running behind schedule, we get stuck in the airport and we miss something? And you know what our children are going to say? They're going to say that all of this learning, it's not worth a hill of beans, because it's do as I say, not do as I do, because I see that you also wake up 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. So what are I? Kriya Shema was 8:30. The Mishnah says, the Amos like Kriya Shema B'Shacharis? All right, obviously that's for the hecher, the better people, but oh, the rest of us not. What are you teaching your children, says the Moshe? Contradictions? No. You're teaching your children, it has to be consistent, it has to be follow my example. Eil Matzia Shaloi, Eil Chayav Achris, says the Moshe, versus mine, says mine, versus dine, says dine. Everybody knows what's mine is mine, and what's yours is yours. Everybody knows that. It's automatic, it's ingrained. Memela, they spend their first year learning. It doesn't mean that they're going to find the string of figs. They're not going to find the string of figs. But they know one thing, that the person who's teaching it to them and their father who's doing it over with them is practicing what they're preaching. And Memela, therefore, there is no other way than serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Masa Yodai L'Spor. All of this and a million things more. But we're going to go fight them because we have to do the Mishnah. But understand, we're just touching, it's the tip of the iceberg. We are examples. We are the Masei, the Netzem HaTorah for our children. Our children are looking to us. They're chalashim. Ta, Daddy, what do I do? What does Hashem want from me? How should I live my life? What are the priorities? What aren't? How do I deal with people ben adam l'chaveri? How do I deal with people ben adam l'makayim? They don't know. They look for us. Why do we just put on our Avraham Avinu hat? We are in the same position. And we're in that position 24/7. And we have a tremendous responsibility to pull it off. Who doesn't want nachas from the kids? Everybody wants nachas from the kids. The only way is to look at it and understand that all of these things are nichal in Neitzem HaTorah, and Memela will be Masa Yodei L'Spor, that when Hashem looks at your children, He'll be glorified by what they're doing too. The credit will go to you. Now the Mishnah continues, there are those who don't have Olam Haba. So says there's no Tchis HaMesim from the Torah. They determine HaShemayim. Apikoris and so on to Apikoris. These three things the Gemara talks at length. So we're not going to spend time on it now in the Mishnah, because the topic will be addressed when we get to the Gemara. Rabbi Kiva Oimer, Afakur B'Svar Machitzoinim. If someone reads Svar Machitzoinim, and also the Gemara will explain this, but it basically means Sifrei Minas, meaning, I guess, theology and other. The Gemara has a discussion exactly what falls into the category of Chitzoinim or not. It's a big shaila, and we'll deal with it when it comes when we get to those Gemaras. And there are loyches al hamaka, that someone who the literal is whispering, but the Gemara is going to tell us later it means someone who spits on the maka as a way of witchcraft, sort of to try to heal a wound. And he says the kol hamakla ashesantu mitzrayim leyosim alecha ki ani Hashem reifecha. He tries to like quote his. Take the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through his witchcraft to become the healer. These are all things that are going to make a person lose his ticket to Olam Haba. And even though he's a Yisrael and he has a chelek, he will lose that chelek, like we said last year, because now he's taking himself out of the Kal Yisrael. He's no longer in the group called Yisrael, because what he's doing is now he's putting him in his own group, a group of not recognizing Hashem as Enoid Milvadoi, that Torah Misinai, and Tchias HaMesim, and all of these Inyonim. The Mela, since he takes himself out of the category of Yisrael, he's now not anymore Roi to get that ticket, that Chelek L'Olam Haba. Now the Mishnah goes on to just tell us different people throughout the generations that lost their Chelek L'Olam Haba. And there's a tremendous limud in this as well, which the Gemara will talk about. And it says, Shloshim Alochim, there were three kings, V'arba had Yoitis, and four regular people, that Ein Lahem Chelek Olam Haba. Shloshim Alochim is Yerovam, Achav, and Menashe. And each one, the Gemara has a whole blot of Gemara discussing each one. We'll discuss them when we get there. How this one was a Chaytu Machti, this one was Keneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this one was Mefatah Tamid HaChacham. Each thing, each one had their own Tziba. But the common denominator was is that because of the way they lived their lives, or the way they did not live their lives, they lost their share in Olam Haba. And Rabbi Yehuda Emet Menashe Yesh L'Chelek Olam Haba. Rabbi Yehuda wants to argue and say that Menashe does have a chelek, because it says Shenema Vayispal Leilov Vayishma Tachanosa, and they heard his tchinas, his crying, Takash Baruch Hu, v'yeshivu Yushalayim Lachus, and he was returned to his Malchus. So he wants to learn out from here, Rabbi Yehuda, that he did acquire his Chelek Olam Haba back. However, the Tanakhama argues and says, Amru Loi No L'Malchus v'yeshivu. He got his Malchus back. He did Shuvah, and he got his kingdom back. But V'loi L'Chai Olam Haba yeshivu. He didn't get back his Olam Haba. And Digmar will discuss this when we get there too, exactly why he fell short and understanding what the machloikis is. Because obviously, when Rabbi Yehuda said what he said, he was under the impression that no, when he was returned his malchus, it would not have been only a partial return. He would have been able to return all the way. And we'll wait till we get to the Gemara, because if we talk everything out on the Mishnah, we'll be on the Mishnah for the next year and a half and never get into the Gemara. And then the Gemara Firzois, the Mishnah says, Arba had Yoitis, Bilam, we all know he did, Doeg, Achitofel, and Gechazi, each one did different Nakudis. Doeg was spoke Lashon Hara against Shaul, which created that a whole, the Kehanim of Noiv got killed out, and Achitofel also had was connected to David HaMelech, he spoke out against David HaMelech. Gechazi went against Elisha, and was Mavad Tamid HaChachamim. Each thing that they did was a thing that created a matzav that they lost their Olam Haba. Now, we finished the mission, but we really didn't, we keep in mind that what we did was we spoke out on the pasuk that the Gemara is not going to deal with. Now the Gemara is going to start expounding on the Mishnah, and we'll understand there's a lot in this Mishnah. Let's just start with the concept of Tchias HaMeisim for a few more minutes until Ma'ariv, just since that was the first one. And the Mishnah, the Gemara starts with Kol Kach Lama. Such a severe punishment they have to get. So let's say he was kofer b'tchias ha-meisim. Let's say that's what it says. It says kofer b'tchias ha-meisim. So therefore he should lose his Olam Haba. The Gemara answers, yeah, because Tanu kofer b'tchias ha-meisim, l'figach lo yeh l'chelek b'tchias ha-meisim. Now, it's interesting to note that we switched now from chelek lo Olam Haba to chelek b'tchias ha-meisim. So take a note over here that it seems like at this point, until next week, that you can't get one without the other. And therefore, it was just a matter of, since we were talking about Tchias HaMeisim, so it said you don't get a chelek in Tchias HaMeisim, meaning, in parentheses, Olam Haba, because one doesn't fly without the other. You can't get Olam Haba and not Tchias HaMeisim. Or Tchias HaMeisim, it doesn't work. It's not, it's Bechlal Masai Mono. In other words, you get one, you get the other. What they are exactly, and how it works, I said in the first year, we're never going to really exactly understand the concept, really, tangibly, of Tchias HaMeisim or Olam Haba, but we will use the Mesholim that the Gemara will tell us, and different Chazal that we know, in order to make it easier for us to, you know, put a handle on it, put a label on it a little bit, like we started to do in Arak Dum. Now, on this shtickle, right here, right on this piece, the Marsha starts and discusses the obvious question, which we're going to use as our launching pad to go weiter, but why is it that Tchias HaMeisim was brought down first? Why is it that the Gemara says that the Kof of Tchias HaMeisim, that was the first thing in the Mishnah, and then it goes on to tell us Ve'eterim in HaShemayim, Fabi Kurs. The truth of the matter is, if you really stop and think about it for a second, it's true that it doesn't say Tchias HaMeisim anywhere in the Torah. mefurish, but it is merumis. And that the Gemara will discuss. How do you know nine tchias amesim in our Torah? The Gemara will go through it, come out with a remez. But the maisa, that's what the chicken or the egg, which came first? We can't talk tchias amesim until we talk Torah. So really, that should have been the first example in the Mishnah. The Mishnah jumped over it and spoke about tchias amesim. Says the Maharsha, is because it's a tremendous chiddush and tchias amesim that made it more choshuv than the other things. And the Maharsha says that their chiddush is even b'machshav. Now, we're going to start from this next Mishnah next week, but I just want to drop an idea, just so you have what to think about. Chew on this until Sunday. We know machshav ha-toiva is mitzvah refus l'maisa. If your person has in mind do a mitzvah, he doesn't end up pulling it off, he could get some schar for that machshav. And we're going to learn about that next week. We also know machshav is ra is not mitzvah refus. That means that avera, you have to actually do that avera. If you think about, oh, I'm going to do that avera, it's not a good idea. Because if you start thinking about it, you might end up going along those paths, obviously. But you didn't do it avera. You didn't do it. I mean, therefore, it's not included. The Maharsha tells us over here an interesting chiddush, that if you go to machshava and you try to say, nuh-uh, there ain't no tchias amesim, you're kaifa b'tchias amesim, you lost your chelik along the mahaba, or your chelik in tchias amesim, however you want to say it. That needs a beer. That needs a beer. Because l'maisa, it goes k'neged, Gemara of Machshava Ra is not Mitzvah Refes. And therefore we have to understand how this thing works. Of course, to quote Rabbi Victor Miller again, is the Machshava is the initiator at times. But sometimes it is the follower, meaning a person sees something. He wasn't thinking about, walks by pizza shop, he wants a slice of pizza. He's flacious. He can't eat the pizza. Can't eat it. He wouldn't have thought about it, but he saw it. That triggered his machshava, and now he wants to eat the pizza. Now, he doesn't eat it. Does he get an avera? Of course not. Why not? Because you got to eat it. The fact that he thought about it doesn't get it. Right? That's a case where the machshava was not the instigator, it followed something else. However, if the machshava is the thing that sets the ball in motion, a lot of times a person could be mechuyah for that, and that is a hint to where we're going to be going and understand the Gemara Be'ez Hashem. Okay.